section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. Three quarters of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music biz. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Follow that, bitch.
folks. Welcome back to A Burns When I Pee, and I have some special guests here we've never had on the show before, the 10-foot pole cats. We got Jay, Jim, and Chad. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, good
to be here.
And welcome to Pekin.
Yes.
First time.
I don't think you guys have played in town, so.
Not. Played Quincy twice, but not Pekin.
All right. Well, Undertow is the new album, and you guys are kind of touring to promote that. So what's the first question I have is kind of how did the band get together?
Go ahead, Jay.
We were in a, Jim and I were in a different band called Hoodoo Revelator, and the rest of the band kind of wanted to go in a different direction, more like the classic rock covers and stuff like that, and we just weren't into it. We just plain weren't going to do it, so we figured we, you know, we started our own thing, doing exactly what we wanted to do. You know, we were very much into Fred McDowell, Junior Kimbrough, and that kind of thing, and we just started, you know, trying to do our own music in that style. And of course, it's not, you know, it's not a copy of any of that stuff. It's like, because we're from Boston, so it's like the Mississippi style through that Boston filter.
Sure.
With everything else we've ever listened to, we've always been into like the Stooges and Black Flag and stuff.
Sure.
So some of that influence in there too.
So are y'all, is everybody from Boston, the Boston area?
General vicinity. Yeah. Like Chad, originally.
Good. Yeah, I'm from New York City originally. But
okay.
I've been in Boston since like 93 or something like that.
He's almost from Canada.
almost from Canada.
Yeah.
So Jay, how did you get to playing the harp?
Geez, I must have started playing harp in about 85, I'd say. I was in a thing, a band when I was like 17, 18, doing blues, you know, and some rock and stuff like that, and it just seemed like something I could pick up and do. You know, I didn't need to play guitar. We had a real good guitar player in the band, so I started just messing around with it, and once you get the handle on it, the blues is in that thing, and you can, if you work at it, you can find it, you know, so...
Sure.
I've never become like a really super accomplished harp player, but I just, you know, do what's necessary.
Right.
You know?
He gets it done.
Gets it done. You guys are not going to kick him out of the band anytime soon. Yeah.
Not for that.
So much other stuff.
Other things, no.
Jim, you have a very unique guitar. Can you kind of tell us about your guitar and why you chose to play that style of guitar?
Well, it's funny. I started playing bass, first of all, jazz bass, studying that when I was like 15 or 16. And then I just heard, I think it was a Muddy Waters song one day. And I was kind of like, geez, I want to do that, but I want to play guitar on it. Playing the slide sound, which I could never get anyways. So I just started forming my own sound. But originally I was more of a six-string player, you know, doing the Albert King type stuff, the huge bends and whatnot. And the style I'm doing now is just kind of a combination of that and the bass playing, really. Doing more, of course, the finger picking now, but kind of also using that drone... a bass note as an entity in the band, basically. It's holding down the melody and whatnot. As far as the axe, yeah, the guitar I have, it's a creation from Matt Sullivan, who's from South Boston. He's a high-end luthier who does like acoustics, high-end acoustics. Really, really amazing stuff. And he's Jay's friend, and I, of course, know him for Jay. And he goes, hey, I want to do something else. I want to try some other stuff, like the cigar box thing. And I go, I got an idea for you. And basically that's how it all came out. The guitar was basically Frankenstein together from bits and pieces I had. And he built the box, which is immaculate. One of the best instruments I've ever played, you know. That you can pull off the... Better than you can pull off any wall to make it in a guitar shop. But, so that's how it's kind of all come about.
He's an amazing woodworker, Matt Sullivan. Jim was just looking for a basic box that sounded good to throw the neck on. And this guy did so much detailed work on it that... He didn't have to, you know, but he's
sure.
Just a craftsman, and he just, like, the thing, if you look at it up close, it's just beautiful work.
That box and all the other stuff with it has about four or five types of wood in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty elaborate.
Does having the box style make a unique sound? I mean, is it a different sound than if...
Yeah, definitely. It's more rough, more throaty, raw. Like, a lot of curved instruments, especially semi-hollow bodies, it's more of a rounder sound, not as abrasive. But I like abrasive. It's more fun. So it's definitely got its own unique tone.
And Chad, how long have you been playing the drums?
I started when I was about 10, I think. 10, you know? Sears Christmas catalog, paper heads. Big sound.
Right.
Started off with the paper heads and the tin cymbal. And then I progressed into, you know, like a some, I think it was like a used three-piece Gretsch kit, Sparkle kit, much like the one I'm using now.
Nice.
Then I went to the Pearl Export, baby, the seven-piece Pearl Export.
Wow.
Back in my cover band hair metal days. Yeah, I've been playing since I was about 10.
Which do you prefer, playing the smaller kits versus larger kits, or does it really make a difference to a drummer?
I prefer to be stripped down, personally, and play a smaller kit. In fact, I've gotten even smaller since I started playing with these guys. That's a five-piece kit. I used it as a four-piece. Now I've even taken away an additional piece, and I'm only using three. Jeez, I'd like to lose even another piece.
Right.
It's just the smaller, the better.
More compact sound.
I like to play economically. It's easy to travel with, and you can't get busy on a kit like that. I'm not doing fills because I can't.
Sure.
And I don't want to.
Sure.
And it doesn't fit in this band anyway.
Sure.
You know, Jim's guitar work is what you want to hear. I'm just holding down the beat so it makes sense.
You're getting all the sounds you need out of the drums.
Yeah, I'm getting everything I need out of
it. Right.
Definitely getting it done.
So more isn't always better in the drum world.
Less is better in my opinion.
That's pretty much the thing with the band. I mean, it's just we travel with Chad's three drums and we got two small amps.
Yeah.
And that's really it, you know?
We convinced Chad to lose a kick drum and use my footboard.
Yeah.
And that probably won't happen.
Holy shit.
So where did the name the 10-foot pole cats come from?
A friend of mine, Sam and Pat, he's just a really brilliant guy and really funny. And he just, he's one of these guys where other musicians will call him up and say, hey, I'm trying to start a band. It sounds like this and that and that. And he's got a name like right away. He's just like really creative like that, and like he knew Jim, he knew me, and you know, we described what we were doing. And he just like came up with it, 10-foot pole cats, and we find out it's a reference to like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where they were like in a laboratory combining like a cat with a 10-foot pole and
sure.
came up with a 10-foot pole cat. So
my first thought was like I was like because I tried to answer the question myself before I talked to you guys. And I was like, maybe it's another name for a stripper, like in Boston.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of
like a really large stripper.
Well, you know, the pole is 10 foot.
Yeah.
The cat doesn't have to be.
Well, I hope not, because pole cat is basically a skunk, and therefore, you know, well, you can take the joke from there.
I can take you to a couple places. You'll find the skunks around here. So, you guys again, the latest release is Undertow, which you guys released with Hillgrass, Blue Billy. And it's your second release with them.
Yep.
Right.
How did you guys get to be hooked up with Hillgrass Blue Billy?
They heard our EP, Sterno Soup, probably via Deep Blues Festival 09 up in Minnesota when we were just basically handing them out. And I got back to Keith, and he really liked it. And he called us, I think he called up Jay first, and then called me, was trying
was
to find
there?
Out more about it. Huh?
Was he there at Deep Blues 09?
No, he wasn't. I don't think so. He was there in 08, I think.
Right.
But he got wind of it, got a copy, and was, you know, really liked what we were doing. He called us up and was all excited. I go, well, you know, we're working on another one right now if you'd like to be a part of it, if you know. And he was all psyched about it, and yeah, that's as simple as it gets.
Sure. You know, and I'm always interested, you know, a lot of bands are with, like, independent labels, and there's a lot of guys that are doing their albums and releasing them all themselves. For you guys, what is the difference for you guys with having the backing of Hillgrass as opposed to if you guys were just putting them out yourselves?
I think they're very much still, like, an independent label where you have a lot of control of what you do. And, in fact, that's, with Keith, we've never been told no. You know,
right.
So he's like, the artistic value is still, it's in our hands.
Yeah, he trusts us to do what we're going to do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and, you know, it's probably not too different, but except, you know, Hillgrass, a lot of people know who that is, so, oh, you're on there, let me go check it out.
Sure.
You know, it's
kind of helped us when we were first touring into the South and the Midwest, because it was like, you know, these guys are from Boston, forget about it, you know, and then... They're on Hillgrass though. Okay, maybe we should go check this out. So it kind of helped us. It was people who trust Hillgrass Blue Billy and have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They figure, well, if Keith got behind it, maybe I should give it a shot. You know,
sure.
So it definitely helped us out being affiliated with them.
So what the new release? What's different, or what did you guys try anything different on the new album as opposed to the last release?
New drummer. That's the biggest change.
The new drummer. We got Chad now. Like, we wanted a whole different sound. We went with a different studio, different people to, you know, record it. And we wrote everything this time. Last time we were doing, we wrote a little more than half of it, but we wanted to do some stuff by some of our heroes. We did a Sun House song, a Tommy Johnson song. We did a T-Model song, RL song. And, but then listening back a year later or so, we're like, wow, we went so far away with our versions of those songs that we could have just thrown new lyrics in there, and you know.
Sure.
So we thought about it like, okay, we've kind of paid tribute to our heroes here. We got to write our own stuff here. So we wrote all our own stuff on this one, and it's that's the biggest difference, I think.
That and touring around with other bands have really influenced us in because some of the stuff in the new album is not your typical blues, I guess you could say, or not your. Our typical blues, typical anyways.
Right.
But I mean, we got like bluegrass influence on there, country, whatnot, in our own way, you know. So it's filtered through us.
Yep.
But playing shows with whoever, the Gallows, Jake Orvis,
Possessed by Paul James.
Possessed by Paul James. You know, it all kind of seeped in and kind of leaked its way out in some of these songs.
And that's important, I think, for a band is you have to continually grow. You don't have to change your whole style or change your whole sound, but I mean, the object is to progressively, you know, make changes in, you know, your style.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I would say you don't want to stick in one genre for the rest of your life.
Sure.
People that want you to, it's kind of not very exciting for the musician.
Right.
It's like having sex in a missionary position all the time. I mean,
I'm getting tired.
So who does most of the writing on the band, or do you guys split it up?
That would be Jay.
Jay does the majority.
We do a lot with... When we want to write, we get together, we start banging around some riffs, and Chad really helped this time around by recording a lot of it, and we wouldn't remember, you know, we'd be drinking beers and whatever, and like a couple of days later, we didn't remember any of it, but Chad would look through it all and narrow it down, send us some riffs, and be like, wow, that one sounds really good, you know, and so I'd start writing over particular riffs, and then I'd come up with lyrics and melody, and then we get together and hash out the arrangement and figure out how it's going to work, so...
So everybody's kind of involved in the actual arrangement and coming up with melodies and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of our stuff grows live. I mean, we're not one to say, oh, we wrote a song, we're going to put it on the next album, we're not going to play it till then.
Right.
No, we write a song or do something that week, it's coming up the next week in some version, and then it's growing.
Sure.
So,
do you guys tend to also, you know, kind of on-the-fly versions of your songs when you're playing them live, too? I mean, there's obviously a lot of, you know... freelance, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Improvisation.
Controlled improv, I guess.
Controlled improv.
Yeah,
there's areas of almost all the songs, most of them, there's areas where we, you know, it's going to go somewhere and we just got to trust that it's going to find its way back, you know.
Even from the album Undertow, which is just a recent release, we're doing stuff differently already in some of those songs.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys obviously, you know, have families and, you know, day jobs and lives.
Yeah.
And so you guys, we talked about this before, Jay, earlier, out this side, you guys kind of keep your tours at like 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And does that keep you guys fresh on the tour, doing the touring and not getting burned out?
That's a good way to look at it. You know, I'm sure we would be a lot less fresh after like a couple of months or so, you know. But maybe it does. We never when we get home we're tired. I think you get tired after any long trip, you know. But but also people that we know that stay on the road longer, I think it's the momentum keeps them rolling, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you get home after 3 weeks or 3 months, you're still gonna just like crash out.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah.
But it probably keeps us a little fresh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the road for, you know, 3 weeks at a time, you got to cover a lot of ground.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, what goes into planning a tour for you guys, because I know every band does it different.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you guys sit down and go, okay, we're going to go out from this date to this date, how does it formulate into an actual tour?
I think we look for the milestone dates and then book around it. Like for instance, this time around, we July 7th, we had Heavy Rebel Weekender. That's in North Carolina. We know we can leave on the 5th, so we find two shows in between, which in this turn was Philadelphia and Wilmington. A lot of miles between those, but you gotta get to point A to point B.
Right.
And then one of the weekends, next weekend coming up, we have another festival in Minnesota, and so you find your way that way. And also, you know, we try to go to places where we know promoters are gonna promote the show, and people we know, you know, are so helpful to put us up and whatnot. Ted in Nashville. Yeah, yeah. Does amazing stuff with hospitality wise. So yeah, I mean it's a myriad of things. It's not just going out there and driving 4 hours and
sure.
It takes a little more thought.
Look at the map and fill in the gaps.
Yeah, yep. Basically.
So you know, obviously being in a band together, you guys are friends. What's the friendship like after those 3 weeks when you get home?
We do all right, you know. Yeah. I think we're all pretty laid back, and I don't think we've had any kind of real battles on the road, you know. Any argument we've had is usually over in about 5 minutes, you know, and it just never happens. But I think we're all older and, you know, old and worn out, so we got no, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. There's no drama. There's no fist fights out in the room.
No.
It's like we get along.
We get along real well.
Now, if we took out that other 5-piece band, I mean, you would...
Oh, forget about it, yeah.
Oh, we would have been dumping off bodies in the side of the room.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's funny, because we, like we said, we're all pretty stable, and we get into some situations on the road, and we'll think, wow, remember that other band we were in? Can you imagine those guys?
Sure,
imagine
sure.
What we would have done here.
Whoa, yeah.
If we would be in this situation now with them, it would be like...
Yeah. Oh, it would have been
makes you kind of appreciate what you got going on.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah.
It's so hard to keep a band together, because most musicians, especially if they're very creative, they're going to be a little wacky on top of it, you know?
Sure.
And usually in a good way, and sometimes it manifests itself in a bad way, and people's personalities clash. I mean, we've all been through it, but... Luckily, we just kind of balance each other out, and we do fine. We just do the work. We drive, we play, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the first time I saw you guys play was at Christie Fest last year. And, you know, we're good friends with BJ and Coley.
Yep.
And you guys are going to play it again this year.
Yep.
You know, that first Christie Fest, you know, it was started out as a drunk guy with a beard's idea, you know what I mean? And end up, you know, after you guys played that, what did you take away from, you know, even such a small little get-together like that? What did you guys take away from that?
Similar to what you get at some of the larger things, but in a, you know, of course, in a scaled-down version of it. Like, you go to Muddy Roots and you meet up with people you haven't seen in a while. But at Christie Fest, it was, you know, a smaller version. It was a big hug fest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every time someone hops out of the car, everybody's like, hey, there's that guy. And it's, you know, a big hug festival. And it was just great to see everybody. And Beach, you know, Beach can cook like nobody's
business. Right, right, yeah.
So there's a lot to eat. And just, you know, friends, Husky and, you know, Danny Kaye and... I don't know, had we ever seen Lone Wolf before?
No, I never had.
No.
Yeah,
it was great. Just,
great.
Yeah.
And Olds, too. Actually, we missed Olds.
We did. We showed up too late to see Olds. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see
Sean
him this
K. Preston.
Sean K. Preston.
Yeah. And, you know, from that, we've done shows with Sean K.
Sure.
And Danny K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All the K's.
As far as we can go, when you have all these festivals together, the great thing about it, and especially with Deep Blues 09, we made so many friends. We go to their place. We play with them. They come up to Boston. They get a home up.
Help each other. It's kind of like a family-oriented thing.
It is a community type thing.
Definitely. And that's one of the things, I think, the music in general that we listen to, and there is a community to it. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Just doing this show for, you know, 6 years, you know, I would have never met BJ and Coley all the way in Pennsylvania, you know what I mean? So,
one drunk guy, hey, that's where I'll get it. 5 drunk guys playing the Revolutionary War in Boston.
That's right.
There you go.
And so you guys are playing it again this year, Christie Fest again this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
October 19th, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to later in the year, so it won't be hot, and hopefully it'll be another good turnout, hopefully even better turnout.
Yeah. And like a venue, too.
Venues,
yep.
Yep, but, you know, like you said, with Beej's cooking, you know, if you could get half the people come there just for his food, and, you know, then to hear the bands, I mean, you're going to leave, half those people are going to leave, you know, completely digging the music, too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Every time I looked over at him, he was cooking, and I'm just like, dude, you put all this work into this. Why don't you stop cooking and come over and jam out?
Relax, watch the bands.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are in Illinois. The Stanley Cup just happened not too long ago.
Oh, don't
here we go.
Yeah. I'm going to play Chicago yet, too, on a Monday coming up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I obviously, you know, you guys are Sox fans and Bruins
Sox
fans.
Sox and Bruins are my two big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was the Stanley Cup like for you guys?
Well, luckily we won 2 years ago, so the sting is not as bad as it would have been. But blowing 2 third-period leads is fucking tough.
Yeah. But it's a good hockey, man. That whole playoffs was just kick ass.
It could have been worse. We could have lost to Vancouver.
Right. There you go.
I'm sure Chicago fans.
I'm a Blues fan, so it was more of just enjoying the whole experience. So, but last question: do the 10-foot Polecats have a 5-year plan? Do you guys, how far ahead do you think, or what are you planning your band and what, where you want it to be?
We don't really think like that.
We don't think that far ahead.
I think we can take more baby steps. Like, was last year better than the previous
year?
Yeah, exactly.
And how can we grow from there? I mean, it's like if we don't reach our goal in 5 years, what are we going to do? Stop?
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. You hear guys like that when we're all in our 20s, and you know, if I don't make it by the time I'm 30, I'm quitting. It's like, dude, quit now.
Yeah, right.
Who needs you, you know?
You can be an accountant now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, like, for instance, we played last year at Tuesday night in Quincy, Illinois. And now we played a Wednesday night in Quincy, Illinois, and there was more people there. So, ba-boom.
Exactly.
It's already, you know, it's going better already.
Granted, we want the big hit on the radio and whatnot, but
yeah,
I'm not counting on that.
We do more, you know, we do more as time goes on. We learn more of what we should do, and we do it, you know.
Sure.
So yeah.
There's more to it than just, like, setting up the gear and playing. So the more we learn, the more we do.
Yeah, you can look at it. I think we were saying this the other day. By the end of the year, Chad was. By the end of the year, we will have played shows with Otis Taylor, Black Flag, and Meat Puppets.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
which is better than the year previous.
Yeah,
there you go.
The year previous, yeah. So, hey.
Well, guys, hey, it's a pleasure seeing you again. Can't wait to see you play tonight. And definitely thanks for being on the show.
Thanks,
man.
Thank you, man.
Hello, I'm Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free, so dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. Well, all the links are on the front page of ibwip.com.
Neighborhood, that thing you're doing, making me feel so good. Do that thing, do that thing, do that thing, do that thing. Got the stuff I like in a proper amount. When the stuff's all gone, you don't see me around. Do that thing, do that thing, do that thing. Like I stole your bike. Do that thing. Do that thing. Do that thing. Do that thing. I'ma do that thing. Everywhere I go, I look around and I see everybody I know doing that thing like me. Do that thing. 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 Do that thing.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.